Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
The first one is recording.
Oh, we started?
We started. It's already happening. I literally was lurking outside your house.
Yes, and pulled up in a cab.
You pulled up in a cab. I stopped playing Marvel Puzzle Quest.
I you said, were playing you it chill. Loud. I'm like, who is jamming to what in the hood?
There's no noise.
No, I could hear it outside the car.
That was not me. That was not Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Oh, okay. I wonder who was...
I love that the idea that it could have been loud, though. That's me making that pow-pow noise.
Oh, my God. This is already a horrible start. I feel awful. There's something happening between my breasts and my hip bones.
All right.
Which is my entire torso.
Right. So your lower torso, where your lady parts are being kept.
And up. The whole range.
Rib pate, like just sort of lower lungs.
Discomfort. Yes.
Sharp pains?
Not sharp pains.
I have a degree in political science. Let me see if I can diagnose this. Talk to me.
No, I did search my symptoms, and of course, I have a terrible disease.
Of course. Your days are numbered,
yes.
And I'm so sorry to hear it. I think the internet can be used for good. I don't know if it has been.
It hasn't been for years.
For years.
It was so fun for a while. It was so fun to be on the road and go on AOL, even though it cost me every dollar I made, and just chat with people while I was so lonely in hotel rooms. It was so fucking fun.
Right?
That
first connection was great.
Mm-hmm.
There was a billboard that I loved. Did you ever do the AST billboard?
No.
It wasn't
a special
AST.
Thing?
That was a special thing. It was called AT. It was a road thing.
Okay.
It was road comics. And
yeah.
It was a billboard. It was a
physical
board.
Billboard
no,
on a street?
No, it was like a sort of a... No, no, it was an internet posting thing. And it would be threads and everybody would
talk. Oh, a bulletin board.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thanks for playing.
Oh, my God.
It was a billboard. It was an ad for comedy.
No, yes, I was on the AST board. I was more of a lurker because it was LA comedy and I was in New York.
Yeah.
You know,
you were in New York, yeah.
I was obsessed with any sort of critique of comedy or people's opinions because you never heard it before. And all of a sudden there's these groups of people complaining about stuff. And you're like,
complaining
what?
About comedy?
Yeah.
And literally talking about comics that you had heard of or seen their headshots.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like, you know about Tree?
Yeah. That was
Tree.
Amazing.
Yeah.
For
amazing.
A couple years where there wasn't that much going on, I used to think, why? A fucking Rolling Stone covers every dumbass band that does one single.
Right.
And there's these comics that have been doing it for 20 years and no one knows who they are. Like, why don't they cover comedy? And now it's like, oh, get away.
Just stop covering comedy.
Find something else.
If you could stop
Leave
talking
it alone.
To comics about things.
Did you? this week was crazy.
It was crazy.
Did you watch Nick DiPaolo's special?
Not even on a dare. I wouldn't. You know that I've met him probably twice.
I like him a lot.
You worked with him at Tough Crowd.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
It's I'm sure. Allow me to say he's a nice enough guy, but whatever. I don't know.
Okay, so he this guy.
I've
named,
only seen his short sets.
Yeah,
he's so
fucking funny.
Here's what I know. Is that he's absolutely, this is what I've always assumed.
Yeah.
And the short sets that I've seen have verified this for me.
Yes.
He is not writing for me. I am not
his target. No.
I write comedy for absolutely everyone in the room. Almost
right.
Women comics
right.
do, especially of our age.
Yeah.
He has not had that burden.
You are less his target audience than ever. I mean, could not be less interested.
Every day.
I watched it because
you were
I was fascinated. Well, no, I don't watch a lot of people's stuff, but I was because of all the everything that was happening. I was very interested in it.
Well, because of the blowback, because of his weird,
terrible.
Who made that?
I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't him. He doesn't know how to use Photoshop,
no,
does he?
No, I don't think so. But it was a the
it was an ad.
The cover, the like the CD cover was him. Okay.
It wasn't even the CD cover, right? Because it's a Netflix special, right? Am I correct?
No, it's a YouTube special. That's what was interesting, too. I was like, is this going to make him money? Like, is that a thing that if you and I can't get something on Netflix, yeah, or we can't get something on Comedy Central, mm-hmm, is there a way to make money from putting it for free on YouTube?
Now, advertising wise, I think there is, but
yes,
not a lot of money, I don't think.
It depends. It totally depends.
Yeah.
But like, I watched this whole thing and he only had an ad up front. He didn't have it like every 10 minutes.
Okay.
Which I thought was a missed opportunity, because you have people that are going to hate watch the first 10 minutes and they're going to get that ad and they'll be like, eh. And then the people that really like that stuff are going to watch the whole hour and you mm-hmm have five more opportunities for ads.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
That was interesting to me that he didn't do that, but I don't know if that's his choice or not, but, right.
So the image that was the cover or the lead in
awful
was him flipping off a
yes
group of Me Too protesters and the guy wearing the Black Lives.
Several different types of protesters.
Right. Several different types of protesters. And the Black Lives Matter guy is dead.
He'd been murdered. Mysteriously. I don't think they knew who shot him. It's like a thing that's happening to a lot of Black Lives Matter activists. It's like they're just being shot.
They're just
and
being
it's
murdered.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God! Is there like a serial killer on the loose, or is this just sort of?
It might be called the establishment.
yeah.
So,
but he was also the guy that, I don't know if you guys remember this. Someone, I think it was in Charlottesville, or it was someplace where the Klan was, and somebody had a giant flagpole, and they had a Confederate flag.
This
guy, no. It wasn't a flagpole. It was like a giant. It was a very someone was holding a Confederate flag and a very large pole that they were holding. The thing was, the flag was really high. It was like, it seemed like it was 10 or 12 feet off the ground.
Okay.
And this guy, I don't know his name off the top of my head right now, and I should, but the guy that, you know, ended up being murdered, took this running jump over a fence and jumped up and grabbed the flag and pulled it down. And someone caught it on video, and it's an amazing
video. I do vaguely remember that.
Yeah, so that's him. So that was a huge, couldn't be a dumber and more insensitive.
To put it lightly.
So that, you know, that was just really gross.
That was gross, and he was defensive of it until he wasn't.
Right.
And then he was casually apologetic about it. You know, sort of like, no, I'm sorry that I didn't realize, and now move on. And you're like, nope.
Well, you got to be careful. I mean, you have to take the time to, if you're going to grab images from the internet, take the time to find out who they are and why you're grabbing them. Are you just grabbing a black guy, or are you just grabbing a crying lady? You know, who is that?
Yeah. Who is that?
that's number one. But it was interesting because, like, I think he had a lot of stuff on race that.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yes. And it's a couple things. First of all, I think.
Was it four piece?
No.
It's all
but I think
together.
Had he been on Tough Crowd with these chunks and he done them with Patrice and Keith Robinson on the panel, it would have been hilarious because they would have shredded him and he would have enjoyed being shredded at the same time by these guys because they have this friendship.
But this was there was no rebuttal.
There's no rebuttal, and there's no one calling him out on anything, and it's a mostly white audience, and so kind of echo chambery. And see, here's the thing, I see this on some comics on the left. You might agree. this guy.
Ugh.
Where you're having a YouTube channel about your political beliefs and you're only talking to yourself, or you're talking to people that agree with you, and you're not talking to an audience, and you're not having to make an audience laugh, and you don't have to overcome much. And so you it's very easy, I think, to get just into this, all right, I'm just going to go down this path where everyone agrees with me, and the audience I draw to the club will agree with me. And you cannot get a read on really good material like that. If that's what you want.
No, and if that is what you want. And it's weird because, you know, there's a difference between finding an audience and then doing shows for that audience.
Mm-hmm.
And also having people in the audience that don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Even
right.
if, like, it's if, like, when Maria Bamford does it, She makes an announcement. Friends might have brought you. This may not be for you. Don't feel bad if you have to leave. And don't feel bad if you don't enjoy it. But in her heart, she would love for new fans.
Sure, right.
Right? And so I wonder about Nick DiPaolo and these two guys.
And there's others, too, as well. Yes,
there's all the people. but I think that it's the learned skill of doing the road has always been for us anyway, mm-hmm. is to learn how to play the whole room.
Yeah, I mean, and respond. As soon as we hit the stage, we have resistance.
There's resistance, and you get overcome it, mm-hmm. and you make sure that you're, you know, if you have a point to make, and if it isn't hate-filled, or if it isn't a TED Talk, right? Mm-hmm. If it isn't just,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, here's my PowerPoint spread.
Yeah.
You will try to find the people that are resisting it.
Mm-hmm.
And which is why you'll hear people talk about comics noticing the one person in the audience with their arms folded.
Right, right, right.
Because that's who we're all trying to get. We're that like, person
why?
Too.
All these other people like me. Why don't you?
Why don't you? And it's because we want to be likable.
Yeah,
we want to be loved. And I wish he would have done it with Keith Robinson, not Patrice. That would have been inappropriate. He's dead.
Oh, my God, Jackie. Oh,
just,
my God.
Just
calm down.
I wish it made me miss Giraldo is what it made me
miss.
Because Greg Giraldo, I worked with him 2 weeks.
Yeah.
1 week, the first week I worked with him, he said, and I quote, "I'm in between cheating on my wife this week." And he was kidding, but he wasn't kidding. And he had just blew $50,000 of money in a weekend.
Oh, my God.
On coke and prostitutes and gambling in Vegas because he had gotten a development deal. And he said that he came to and there was like 6 messages from his wife at the hotel. And the last one said, "If I don't hear from you by tomorrow, I'm taking the children. You're never going to see them." And it sobered him up for 3 months.
Is this a story that's out there that he would be comfortable
I don't think
having on a podcast.
Sure. Well, I mean, the thing is I think we all know that Greg Giraldo's tragic life.
Yeah.
Was tragic.
Okay.
If his widow now doesn't remember it as that, that's what he told me.
Okay.
He didn't mm-hmm. make himself into the hero of any of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He made it. He was literally talking about how horrible he felt.
Oh yeah, no, he was self-aware, which made it even harder.
Well, when
he passed
Ill.
Away. Yeah.
He was clearly not well. Anyway, but so the Nick DiPaolo thing, I just, you know, he hung out with all those guys, right? Mm-hmm. He hung out with black comics who chewed him out.
Mm-hmm.
He hung out with Greg Giraldo, who was not that guy. He was mm-hmm. not Nick DiPaolo.
Yeah.
His stand-up was like the roasts were the meanest things he did.
Right. Yeah.
His straight stand-up was literally just smart.
Yes.
And dark.
Incisive and yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But super funny.
Well, he, you know, it's the other thing I was thinking when I was watching this stuff is it's 2019 and pop, you know, culture has changed so much in the past 3 years since Trump was elected. Like things have moved really quickly, right?
Yes.
And so it's jarring to watch comedy that didn't move ahead with the rest of us. You know what I mean? Like this is, you know, and every comic's fine to plant their flag and go, "This is who I am and I'm done, you know, this is me." And so this is my point of view and mm-hmm. that's it. And so I think we're all sort of used to, you know, us and our friends are just trying to push ourselves in a different way and to go, "Oh, you're really going to stay in that
corner.
You're
going to double down."
Yes.
He's really doubling down. It is a weird choice on.
Yeah.
Right. When I look at those guys, when I look at even these guys, right? The guys on the left,
right.
Where the guys on the left, the guys on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Men that are our age,
mm-hmm, yes.
Some even a little bit younger.
May I point out, mm-hmm. childless?
Oh, childless men. On
what I do think that when you have a kid, part of you is like, oh, these schools need to be fixed fucking today.
Oh, right.
We don't have time for a revolution, a Bernie. We don't have time for 10 years from now or 20 years from now. This shit needs to get fixed today.
Right. Infrastructure becomes much more important.
He's going to go to college in 6 years, and I don't want him to have $200,000 in loans.
Right.
Okay, so let's fucking fix this shit now. So I think that there's a practicality that's missing from what I've noticed with these guys.
Right.
It's
not sweeping, but it is a pattern you have noticed.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're wrong. I think that that's an issue, maybe that's what's doing it, because it does confuse me when I see these guys and you're just like, well, don't you wanna? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to write new stuff? And don't you want to make like the 25-year-olds love you too? Because I want the 25-year-olds to love
me. Too. Yeah. I want Hari Kondabolu's fans.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yes.
For sure. I want everybody's fans. Somebody told me a story today. It was Eli Olsberg. I just came from doing The Virgil.
Oh.
And three comics of the week were right there.
Cool.
Meredith, Irene, and Caitlin.
Oh, right on.
And
which Caitlin?
Gil.
Okay.
And so, but Eli Olsberg was also there. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me he had read an article about Roger Ebert watching Dice Clay's Madison Square Garden performance.
Wow.
Yeah. And how... And Ford Fairlane as well. Mm-hmm. It was a story about how much Roger Ebert did not enjoy Dice Clay.
Yeah.
And how he watched Ford Fairlane and he was like, you could tell that he can act. His choices are terrible of the characters he wishes to play.
Yeah.
And I guess in A Star is Born, which I did not see, he was excellent.
Okay.
And was a really good actor. But I guess Roger Ebert's review of his Madison Square Garden show was a zero, which he had given only once or twice before, and it was always on moral grounds.
Oh, wow.
He couldn't even watch it as art.
Wow.
And he said what offended him the most was not it was the choices that Dice made, but it was the fact that the audience laughed for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Which meant that Dice was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And it's that acceptance that I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what I want out of stand up. If that's what people want out of stand up, I can't stop them. You know?
It was weird. There was some stuff like in the middle that was really funny.
Just, oh, good.
It wasn't connected to politics or Hillary.
They were just jokes.
Yes.
Or Hillary.
Someone pointed out that he had a chunk about wanting to jerk off to her autopsy phone. I'm like, what? Whatever. Okay.
So he doesn't like.
But it was like, yeah, you know, there was funny stuff in the middle, and then at the end, I watched like the thank yous
on
and
a dick
stuff.
Joke?
Okay. I don't remember.
I want him to have closed on a dick joke that doesn't have anything to do with politics.
I don't think
just
so.
Because that would have
but
been.
But the very last title card was a thank you to President Donald Trump. And it was not ironic. And it wasn't, it was a genuine, like, it's something like the greatest president or
what?
Something like that. It was like a genuine.
Nick
like,
DiPaolo?
Yeah, like a bow to a leader. And it was that was like shocking to me. I can't.
He drank the Kool-Aid sometime in between.
I don't.
Since you knew him and now.
It's yeah, that was the like everything else. I was like, that's him. He's always been like that. And it's just more jarring now because we aren't that
I wonder if
that
Keith
way as
Robinson
much.
Even talks to him anymore.
I'm sure he does. Who? Yeah. But I mean, it was so. Strange to for any comic to make a
political
show fealty to a leader at the end of a.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but at the end of my next special, it's going to be a big bow to Justin Trudeau, and for no other
he's
reason.
Problematic now, apparently.
Well, it turns out feet of clay.
Yeah,
everyone's like that guy does sit ups. he's the head of Canada.
He has a canoe,
and you're like that's not enough. He's probably just a dude who's trying to run for office.
Politician, but yeah, that. that was really strange. And no, I don't think anyone else pointed it out. Maybe people didn't stick around to watch it, but it was odd. And then this comic named Jake Flores, I don't know if I've met him, but I follow him on Twitter. And he just pointed out that, you know, when you start going down that political road, what's to stop you? There's nothing to stop you. The audience will cheer and they'll make noises. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to stop you.
You're saying, like, going down that weird right wing.
Yeah, and then just to end a comedy special by thanking whoever's currently in office. I loved Obama. I would never thank him at the end of a
no.
You know,
yeah. Hey,
it's not funny.
No,
it it's like it's a like. It's supposed to be fucking jokes.
Right.
It's not
right.
funny.
Yes.
So that was weird.
Yeah.
And that actually was the thing that disturbed me.
Well,
and everything else is like, that's, you know, those are.
Well, the thing is you were used to them from the Tough Crowd years.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And what has happened now, because when was Tough Crowd on?
2003 2004.
Okay. So it's been 15 years.
Oh, shit. Really?
I think so.
Yes. 2019? 19 minus 3 is 16. Fuck.
So 15 years ago, he was edgy. And 2003, right after 9/11.
Yeah.
George W. Bush.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to change with the times.
But, you know, some people aren't going to.
No. That's true. Yeah,
and
I'm not gonna watch it though. I'm
right,
not gonna,
they'll yeah. find their audience. Everyone gets their audience, but so that's, you know, that was just,
and it was so weird with that photo and
yeah,
and then
yeah.
Did you see the comic that I sent who made track listings
yes.
and how he came back at her?
Yeah,
that was so unfortunate. But
here's the thing: you don't want it. Like that's my fear. I think every comic's fear is to be made fun of by other comics, like to go
except
to the side
he does
where
roasts, right?
But yeah, but I'm just saying, like, there's maybe some younger, maybe more millennial comics that are just outright mocking, and it's like, oh, that hurts, you know.
But he set himself up for it too,
yes.
right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
the track listings were fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
and him calling her a nobody that is to half his age.
Yeah.
He's twice her age and twice as relevant is what he said. And she goes, it's so interesting you would find a nobody like me to have this this interaction. And
Jackie, have you never been criticized? It fucking hurts. You got to hunt these people down.
Are you kidding me?
You got to squash them.
You don't have to hunt them down. You do not have to.
Everyone must love you. And if they don't, you find them
you
and
find
make them love you.
And make them love you. On that note, let's take a Max Fun break. By the way.
Oh, I wondered why you brought out that
the timing?
Clock. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Janet Varney, and like many of you, brand new sentient robots excluded, I used to be a teenager. In fact, just about all of my friends were, too, including folks like comedian Danielle Radford.
And of course, all of us, you take on that theater accent, and our teacher would say, no, that isn't how people talk.
Right.
Don't do the super theater kid accent. It's the worst. But so when I was doing theater in high school, of course, I immediately was talking about being in the theater.
So join me every week on the JV Club podcast, where I speak with my favorite women artists, innovators, and humans as we reminisce about the past and how it led us to becoming who we are. Find it every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Well, okay. We're back. And the reason we're back is because, and I'm writing down time code, is because Kyle's coming and we're doing two tonight.
Yeah.
Because I got to go to Portland and with Maria doing Helium.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go to Eugene.
Fun. Where are you doing? Are you doing a theater in Eugene?
I believe so.
Cool.
Yeah. And
when's
and I'm
the
hoping,
last time you went out with Maria? It's been a while, right?
Right. It was before the Army run. So it's been 2 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And I believe she's taken July off.
Okay.
I'm trying to get into Helium again. Or I sent him avails.
Yeah.
On a Sunday. Proving that a Sunday avail send always works.
Yeah.
He emailed me back almost immediately.
That's jarring. I wouldn't want that.
Well, it was great because he said, and he admitted, he was like, yes, I like to book people that fill the room. And I said, well, I see that you book some people who don't fill the room, but you really either like their comedy or you believe that they're going to be a big deal one day. And I would love that you, if either one of those you were interested in with me. Mm-hmm. And he said that he had two of his clubs, because it's the Helium guy, right? So he owns 7 clubs.
Oh, man.
And
That's a lot of clubs to not be into. You know?
Exactly. Which is why... there is no pride.
Right.
There is no pride in stand-up comedy. Right. And so he said that he had, and this is the way I put it, he has shitty rooms adjacent, just smaller, like Yoo-Hoo, the lab. They fit like 60 to 100 people.
Right.
There's one in Raleigh, and there's, which used to
next
be Good Nights.
Charlie's, yeah.
Yeah. And in the, probably the old Downtown Crackers, he just opened Indianapolis.
Oh, he got Crackers?
I assume that's where he went.
Wow.
But that is also a dance club sort of setup. So I don't know. Maybe it isn't.
I hate that someone is gaining power that doesn't seem to care for me. That's very disturbing.
It's enormously rude. It's very, very disturbing.
If he was into me, I'd be like, yeah.
I know.
Grab them all.
I'd be so into it. It's, I mean... You know, he books the 6 women, the 10 women he books all fill the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the 30 white guys that he books all fill the room too. And then
maybe
there's like
a
dozen
people just show up.
Well, then there's another dozen comics that he books that some of them fill the room, some of them don't. People of color, gay.
You know what
women.
Lisa Landry told me? She would subscribe to clubs' email list so she could find out who was getting half-price tickets, giving half-price tickets away, which is really smart.
That is really smart.
It's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's. But I haven't heard from him since, so it was a good idea. I don't know that it will ever manifest in anything. Hmm. But, yeah. I don't know. So I did several sets this week. I was pretty psyched.
Yeah.
I had to bail on my improv set, though.
What happened?
Because Maz Jobrani, I guess, went really over.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on the third show. And I had already.
In the big room?
In the big room.
Oh.
And at the improv. And I had already done 2 sets.
Yeah.
On Saturday, I believe it was.
Yes.
So I get there, and my set's at 10:47. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. 11:15 show, so 11:40
okay.
is when my set's supposed to be. And I get there at 10:45.
Oh, and you got there an hour early?
Well, for my set, but okay. not for the show, right? Because the show's supposed to start at 11:15. Mm-hmm. Maz was just going up for the second show to do an hour.
Oh, no.
To do an hour. At quarter to 11.
Was it room full?
Room was totally full.
That's great.
And but his first show, I think it was him and friends, and people must have run late,
right,
because it didn't it, yeah. So he got up, you know, a half an hour late, and Caitlin Gill was on that one too, and I as was Gary Cannon, and
he's the warm up guy at Conan,
right, right, and he came up to me with a big hug, and I'm like. I didn't recognize him. I felt really bad, too, because he was like, Jackie, it's me, Gary Cannon. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. and then I hugged him. It was fine. Mm-hmm. But it was – but I said to Gary, I was like, you get to move up 2 people because I'm leaving. I'm not going to make it. And then I texted Caitlin the next day, and I said, what time did you get up? And she said 12:45, and that it was really fun when she got up. But and those things
LA's
are
turning
fun.
Into a late night comedy town.
Yeah, yeah. But I was and people were still there, I guess, and it all worked. But I felt really bad too because I left and she had been hosting an early, like a 10 o'clock show at the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And right after I left, she came looking for me because one of the other comics didn't show up at the lab. So I missed out on two more sets.
Dang,
that night.
That hurts.
My fault.
I was in Sacramento, or I was in
today.
Grass Valley. Yeah.
So because you did Flappers this weekend.
Flappers
and
this
Sacramento.
Weekend. Yeah. I did Friday late show at Flappers and then the 8 and the 10:15 on Saturday.
Okay.
The 8 was sold out and the 10 was pretty full. The Friday show wasn't bad, you know, so it was fun.
Who did Friday first show? Another mom?
Paul Rodriguez. No, Paul Rodriguez.
Another mom dad?
Yeah.
Another parent?
Yeah, they were fun. It was Carmen featured.
Oh, Carmen Morales. That's
yes.
Nice.
And then...
MC and a couple of guest sets?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. We had Dan Telfer and Maxie and a lady named Greg and... Brian McDaniel.
MC. Okay.
Yeah, it was fun. But today, Mother's Day... I had a noon flight to Sacramento.
Wow.
And
oh, that's right.
And then I rented
drive?
I rented a car and drove an hour to Grass Valley. Did a 3 p.m. show.
All right.
Unnatural. Just, I don't want to see people's faces when I perform. And please remind me of this whenever I agree to a show before 7 p.m.
Right. Because was it all with like outdoor lighting? Like, were there windows and it was
oh, yeah,
daytime?
It's windows. It's a day thing. It's It was, windows were open and it wasn't in a theater. It was like in a center, but it was full light, full daylight.
Yeah.
It was fun. And our comic of the week I worked with, she was one of the other acts. She was great. Are we at 30?
And we're at 30 right now. Let's do comic of the week.
Oh, her name is Steph Garcia.
Steph Garcia.
And her Twitter is Real Steph Garcia, S-T-E-P-H, like Steph Curry.
Yep.
And
Garcia, G-A-R-C-I-A, but real Steph Garcia.
Really funny. Really, that's, really funny.
That's so great. Is she San Francisco coming?
No, she's, I think she lives in Roseville. She's has a viciousness that I totally dug. And she's
that's
really
so
funny. And she's a mom. And
good.
I'm like, God, she hates her kids more than I hate mine. What the hell?
I had breakfast today with a friend of mine who is raising her children with so much sarcasm.
Yeah.
It feels almost like child abuse. Mm. I was like, the kids are like 6 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in Austin. She was just here for the weekend for some friend of hers' kid's bat mitzvah. So, we went to breakfast this morning and she was talking about how her kids are. Oh, she said to one of her sons who's six, she said, "You're such an AH." And, and he said, "What does AH stand for?" And she said, "Annoying human." And he came back and like a week later and said, "Mom, it stands for asshole. And thank you very much." And she said, "Well, don't act like one." And I was like, is that an example of
my kid? His feelings get really hurt if I do stuff like that. I once told him he was acting like a jerk and he got very upset. "You called me a jerk." And then I'm like, no, my exact phrase was, "You're behaving like one."
Right. And don't. And then no one will think that you are a jerk.
Right.
Because the thing is, if you keep behaving like a jerk, it turns out you will turn into a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So
my torso is, I feel like I'm swimming in my own body.
I can't believe we're going to do a second one.
I can't
Should
believe
I take
it either.
You to the emergency room?
No, I'm fine.
do you just want sympathy? Then you can, you may have it.
I just wanted to let you know if I'm blinking and not responding, it's because I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay.
So I had to drive back.
Yeah.
Going to the Sacramento airport, the rental car is like 20 minutes from the actual airport.
Shuttle?
And then you got to take a shuttle from the airport to your gate. It's a total pain in the ass. I can't believe it's a state capital airport.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
They do have a nice restaurant in there. I forget where I was routed through. Maybe Seattle a while ago.
Okay.
But I had a meal at this restaurant. I remember the waitress or the server, and she was there at this time too tonight.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think she remembered me, but I'm like, yeah, I've had you before.
I had dinner tonight at a taco stand right by the Virgil that got a B.
I have often seen that taco stand and never eaten there.
Well, I don't know. A B, and Eli Olsberg actually said this. He said, it might as well be an F. If it's not an A, they're dead to me. And there's part of me that agrees, but there was another part of me that was genuinely hungry.
It's a van.
Not the van.
What?
Exactly. The van wasn't there. The food truck that's usually in front of the Virgil.
Oh, yeah, that's
was
what I thought
not
you meant.
There.
Oh.
It turns out, if you cross the street the other way, there is a taqueria. A taquerio, Spanish is my first language.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's a building and it's been there forever.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think I've walked by it.
Yeah. and they have food. And so I walk up, I see the bee, I see that they have pieces of chicken on the menu, and I see that there is a large stainless steel, open to the air, bucket of chicken that's cooked, but being cold, sitting next to the grill, which is off, that will then, I assume, be taken into the building and reheated. And I was like, oh, I guess I won't be having the chicken, because it's just sitting out in the exhaust of humanity.
What kind of pussies have we become where our chicken has to be
freshly cooked
all the time? It can't be cold. Chicken can't get cold. What's a microwave for?
How about if it's covered?
Jackie.
Wow, this is unforeseen. I didn't know you were going to be the one to defend this place. So I got a quesadilla. Anyway, it was fine.
That sounds delicious.
There's absolutely no way to ruin a quesadilla. There's a way to make a great quesadilla, mm-hmm. but a shitty quesadilla is still a quesadilla.
Right.
It's still cheese. Yeah. And chicken and a tortilla.
Yeah,
so
beans,
my lives are complete.
Like
yeah.
So there was this, we couldn't talk about it, but there was this lawsuit against Conan.
Yes.
Where it's been 4 years of this.
Really?
Stuff. Yeah. Where this guy, a comedy writer.
Yeah.
Accused the monologue team, which would
be you.
It's Conan.
Yep.
I wasn't one of the writers whose jokes he wrote the same, but
yeah.
But three different comedy writers.
Yeah.
And you stole that joke from me.
Right.
And
I read the article.
I mean, here's the thing, and I wanted to tie this to DePaulo too a little bit, okay. Where like jokes, most comedy does not last. It doesn't, a year
especially
later.
A monologue joke.
Monologue jokes don't even last a day. Like
right.
The next day, it's like, I saw 20 versions of that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Nothing lasts. So for us to have to like, keep rehashing these three jokes that we would never even do now because
right.
It's like, oh my God, is there really a lawsuit over this? A fucking Washington Monument is a dick joke? Really?
That was the one that I read. I was like, Washington Monument is a dick joke? As soon as the Washington
yes,
Monument was built, it has been a dick joke.
Yes, I know.
Who's getting in Zachary Taylor's face? Nobody. Anyway.
Wow. Good presidential reference there.
Except the fact I think it was after that.
Who knows? But here's the point. It's ridiculous. And
yeah, that's
and
nuts.
The amount of, you know, the frustration and just...
you don't want to rehash jokes you liked.
No. And annoyance and having the word thief and steal associated with your name. Because this
yeah,
one person can't imagine that
somebody else came up with a dick joke.
Yeah. And it's weird. We had so many examples because we started keeping track of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So many examples of like we would write like when we write jokes, we email them to the writer's assistant. So they have a timestamp on them. Right.
Right.
So it's like, OK, we did that joke on the show. It was written at 11:06. And you know, like we can prove we wrote it before you wrote your thing on your blog that we don't follow because we don't know you. But the idea that we're like trolling, looking for other people's jokes is bananas. It's
right.
Not how we, any of us write, you know?
Right.
It was just so frustrating to have this go on and on and on.
Is it over?
Yeah, it's over.
Oh, that's why you could talk about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah. And Conan wrote this really cool, really great op-ed for The Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, really?
About the whole thing.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry that I missed that.
Oh, it's still available on the internet.
No, I'm glad
Kyle.
Kyle Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Clark is in the building. It's an opportunity for him to laugh at something, maybe. There's a large bug that came in with you right there. It's gone now.
He'll go away.
Okay.
But
so,
it was just super super taxing on everybody. There was
right.
going to be a trial.
4 years?
And then you have to like you hope a judge and a jury understands jokes and monologue
yeah.
jokes and how Twitter, you know, hastens everything. And by the end of the day, I mean, how many times did you see people go, oh, now Louis cares about consent, about with his copyright
oh, right,
thing?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was hack an hour after the copyright thing was released,
right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We're all feasting on the same fucking five stories.
Right.
So the idea that it's
right.
it's really annoying.
Right, that's it has to be super, you have to get it in quick, and then you have to know that it's going to be picked up by hundreds of people in moments.
Yeah, and, yeah. And it's weird, and one of the jokes was a Caitlyn Jenner joke.
Yeah.
And now we would never do it, you know?
Right, it just wouldn't happen.
It's weird because audiences are changing so quickly. Comedy does not lead an audience. We follow the audience, right?
Right.
We tell the jokes we can get away with, and then when they stop working, we drop them, right?
Yes.
And so there's like a lot of, if you watch old monologues, you know, you could go back to the Tonight Show with Carson and then just keep going forward. There's so many jokes that you just like, oh my God, did they really say that? You know?
Right.
And so, it's so weird that we're having to defend a joke we would not even do anymore.
Right.
Because it's just that was 2015 and it's 4 years later,
right.
Everything's changed. You
Very
know?
Much so. What happened? How did it end?
We settled and paid a very small amount.
Good.
Yeah.
Just to stop talking about it.
Right. Say exactly what happened.
Right. Can we please stop thinking about this? You may have a small check. Go
yeah.
away.
Mm-hmm. And I think most of it went to his legal fees or something.
Oh, right, right.
But it was appalling.
Well,
it's appalling to be called a thief, you know?
Right. Well, now how does it relate to DiPaolo?
I only thought it kind of related because
of changing
some of his material may have, you know, in even 10 years ago, it would have just been considered dark or edgy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, for some people, it really stands out as like tone
cruel
deaf.
And stupid. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. That's I'm putting words in your mouth. Yeah, well, and weirdly enough, the thing that I have to piggyback on that is Irene Tu and Caitlin Gill. Irene goes up before me mm-hmm. at the Virgil tonight, and then she comes up and she was, and I said, hey, I have a joke about all any, they, them gender thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want you to know that it's, you're about to hear it, and it's nothing.
Does she have one too?
Yeah, yeah, because she had one, and it was a different experience. And,
right, right.
And she said, oh, I can't wait to hear it. And then after...
No
I
one
did...
means that, by the way.
There you go. Kyle Clark's in the house. And so I finished my set.
Carmen said, oh, I have a joke about raping men. And I'm like, okay.
See?
Even though it was nothing like mine.
At all.
Know, I was like,
nothing
glory.
Like. Well, that's the whole thing. Because and then Caitlin comes up to me after my set and goes, hey, I have a joke about poor people and rich people's food and things like, just so you know, I'm not.
Yeah.
It's just parallel thought. And I was like, of course it is. And then she told me, and I was like, yeah, it's nothing. It doesn't have anything to do. It's also an excellent reason to farm a joke into a conversation without farming it into the conversation where
what?
You can just tell the joke. Like if somebody says, oh, I have a bit that I'm working on.
Oh, right,
you're like,
right.
Well, I'm going to tell you my angle. I did not do that to Irene because I was up next. I did not have to do that. If she wanted to hear it, she would hang.
I was up at Bar Lubitsch and this a comic was emceeing and he had a joke that's it was like the beginning of a setup of one of my jokes.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God.
Right, you had a small panic attack.
I did. I told him, I said, I have the same reference. I almost flip it. Mine's kind of flipped from yours, but it's, you know, I thought it's the same.
Right.
And I was like, I've been doing mine for months and we just met. So it's not like, it just, you know,
right,
it's parallel. Just,
right.
And
there's only 12 topics.
I know.
Everybody's talking about the same dozen things.
Yeah. So mine's like woven into, you know, it's like the third rung on a ladder that keeps getting higher. So I'm not taking it away.
No.
It's like, it's in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they'll just coexist, I guess.
Right. And almost everything will. Hey, let's take another break for Max Fun. Good times. And Kyle, I wrote down the time code of when the previous break was. I'm an angel, but now I'm going to stop caring.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bev Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent
or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent. And then that's how my day starts.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm so sick of it. When is that going to be over? Like, I want it to stop.
Teresa, you're hurting my ears.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, no, that's...
I just hate it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It sucks.
It really sucks.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org. on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because you're here. And I don't have to. Yeah. I don't know. What else? So I'm going to go to Portland and Eugene. I'm looking forward to it. I keep writing new material.
Mm-hmm.
And I love writing new material.
Mm-hmm.
But when am I going to do the new album if I don't work on the old material and make it tight enough to put on an album?
Well, so, I mean, it seems like you have a lot of opportunities this week.
It's going to be fine. They're all 25s, though. They're not 45s.
Oh.
But I did... Oh, and...
Are they one show a night, or are you doing two? What if you did two separate 25-minute sets on your Friday and Saturdays?
Well, I could do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's... yeah, there's workarounds. That'd be a good idea. You know, one time I... You know, when I first used to open for Maria, mm-hmm. and it was back in like 2001,
mm-hmm.
and then right around 2006 or 7, I was in a place, I went with her to Montreal, mm-hmm. and Montreal hadn't brought me there in a thousand generations.
Montreal.
And she was doing 2 full weeks of headlines.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
In Montreal?
In Montreal for the festival.
Same room?
Yep. Every night.
Ooh, that's tough.
And,
cause she's probably going to get people coming back, right? You would think?
I don't know. But it was it 2 weeks or was it 1 week? I can't remember. It was so many
shows.
That's
a long time. Cause Montreal is 1 week is Canadian. One week is French, is 1 week is English. I would be shocked.
But the Just for Laughs goes for so long.
Yeah.
That it was, and it was, I believe, the 2 weeks before any of the real haircuts showed up.
Okay.
I think they only came at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so the overlap was so that the Muckety Mucks could watch her do the hour at the end. And by the second show, I was so bored of, I was like, and I was only doing 15 to 20s, I think. And I decided to do a different 15 minutes every show for the next 12 shows. And by the last show, the guy whose name I'm spacing, who books Montreal or
Robbie?
Did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Robbie.
He's at Netflix now.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
He came in and he was like, hey, I heard you haven't been repeating any material. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, well, that's great. Do you have that much material? And I was like, well, that got insulting right there at the end. Yes, I have that much material. And I was like, yeah, you should bring me back to headline my own damn thing. And he never did. But but it was an excellent it's a really good exercise, mm-hmm. to just see what you could open with and what you can close with.
Yeah, it's good to,
if you don't repeat the same material,
see what things could open, and you think they're jokes that belong in the middle of your act, and you can open with them.
One of the Army,
or you can't.
One of the jokes that I wrote for the Army, from the Army run that I just did,
mm-hmm.
Nate Craig, I did it. I did Dynasty Typewriter last night, and he tweeted at me. He was like, "That joke could be the great opening to a late night set." And I was like, "Oh, that's an interesting idea."
Hmm.
And that's always, I love a suggestion like that.
Yeah,
where you're like, "Hey, because I'm just writing jokes, right? And I'm not always
You can't see them.
Not from inside.
Yeah.
Where would that go?"
I brought back an old joke that it's this joke where I took it a different way and it only works at Flappers,
uh-huh.
which is a huge waste of my time.
It only works at Flappers?
Yes.
That's weird. Oh, because it's Armenian somehow?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but the other way is a 9/11 joke. So it's like either
you
it
have
only
to be in New York,
it either it destroys in Burbank or it gets an ooh everywhere else. So, but I think maybe, here's what I think. I think maybe so much has happened since Trump took office that 9/11 feels like so far away.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a modern tragedy like it did just even 10 years ago, like right. a current one, you right. know? It feels really far away.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think maybe as a reference, it's people aren't automatically going to seize up on it. But I could be wrong because I just brought it back again and I tightened it up a lot too.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think, I mean, if you think about it, 9/11, of course, mm-hmm. was almost 20 years ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And there's people, I mean, I'm sure they just, it's going to be canonized. You know, it was immortalized and then now it's being mocked by the 19 and 20 year olds.
Pearl Harbor's the same way. It's just like a fucking joke now. And right. they were, you know, kamikaze pilots were dropping all over Hawaii.
Right.
Many people were killed. It was fucking horrible.
Right.
And it never happened to this country before. And people freaked out. Right. And we're like, December 7th.
By 1952, everyone was like, you know, so it was 41, 51, 61. I bet you in 1961. Everyone was like, yada, 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 December 7th, whatever.
Definitely after Kennedy died. It's like, oh, those quaint old times of Japanese attacks.
I think my dad and my stepmother had a joke about it. It was something about Eartha Kitt. It was a weird old-timey reference.
I can't even make that happen in my head.
Well, it was...
Eartha Kitt and a Pearl Harbor joke?
No, it was not Eartha Kitt. It was Pearl Bailey.
Oh.
It was about going down on Pearl Bailey.
Okay.
And I was like, Nancy Kashian, happy Mother's Day. Why would you tell me that joke? I'm a 15-year-old girl woman child. And I don't even know what oral sex is. I asked her once what oral sex was, and she was like, oh, that's funny. And then she said to my sister, she goes, Darla, Jackie doesn't know what oral sex is.
Oh, my God.
And then they just laughed at me. Wow. Darla, I'm sure, laughed and like,
what a gentle, loving Christ. Family.
Very supportive.
This is awful news. The Punchline in San Francisco is closing.
Right, because Google bought the whole block or something, right?
I don't know 100%, but they lost their lease. So they've been there 40 years. I mean, every comic from San Francisco, that's your home club.
Right.
You know? It's really...
She's only booked me there once. I can't be that sad.
Well, you know, allow me to have a little pain that you can't join in on. I'm sorry.
Irene, too, was devastated as well.
It's awful.
But it's also...
There's no way to replicate it. It's on top of the Embarcadero. It's just a ritual.
It's on top of that weird building that you're like, how do I even get up here?
How dare you insult it's like the
future of the Planet of the Apes. the thing is, they're going to move it to Walnut Creek.
No, they aren't.
I really want them to.
Here's the thing. There used to be a Walnut Creek Punchline.
That's what Irene too said.
Yeah. Can you stop replicating your previous conversations for this podcast?
Nope. We're almost done.
With this one, we have to do another one because of your travel schedule.
Well, not just me.
Kyle?
Yeah, just me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Where are you going, Kyle?
Game of Thrones last episode.
Oh, next week Sunday is the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
we're doing it
anyway.
We're
going to do it on Sunday anyway.
Yeah.
It's a... Okay. I was like, really? It was going to be a TV reason? Anyway, I'm very sorry for your loss. Thoughts and prayers. Anyway.
What a dick.
Do you think...
It's a real loss. Well, It's one of the oldest comedy clubs in the country.
Do you think it's a bigger loss than the move from Cobbs to Giant Cobbs?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Little Cobbs was the best.
It was the best. But that's just, it's another stake in the heart. Like, first the zoo closes, right? Holy City Zoo. Then Cobbs moves. And now this. This is awful. It really is awful. I don't know where they're going to find a place. How are you going to find a place that's affordable in San Francisco?
You put up
a club. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous now.
I mean,
this
do you
city
think
is
be
ruined.
One of-
it's being ruined. I mean, this isn't the first indicator, but it's just like, God
right.
damn it. The Punchline can't survive this fucking tech boom.
They're doing well, too. That's what I heard is that
the
they
punchline?
Were actually, yeah, the Punchline was doing well, but
yeah.
they must have had, I mean, here was one of the things I heard was that they probably had a lease that was all sort of settled back in the day. Right.
Oh, sure.
And so that they were on some sort of fixed rate.
Right.
They probably got a buyout. I'm sure they got a buyout, and it's Live Nation.
Well, if your lease is up, you don't have to get a buyout. You just are kicked out.
Did you hear it was a lease?
I heard the lease was up.
Oh, well, that is too bad then. But yeah. But they'll, I mean, it is Live Nation. Live Nation has a giant bag of money, but they're going to move it probably to somewhere that might not have the good dank.
Well,
because that room actually, once you found the goddamn club.
It's just like a little sparkling pink, beautiful club on top of the Embarcadero. And I've got a million memories.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what they're going to turn it into. I can't imagine clopping up those stairs and not going into the Punchline. Fuck.
Was there an elevator? No.
I'm nope. Escalator.
There was an escalator?
Yeah.
Over on the side?
Yeah.
It was, I remember going, the first time I went there, I was like, is anyone even going to find this place? Because it was so weirdly, it's like open, it looks like an office park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was full.
The Embarcadero
closes down at night,
mm-hmm,
because it's you know, shops and stuff like that. But the Punchline, of course, is open.
But it's
at night.
In the financial district, so it's because the Embarcadero, I thought, was like two blocks toward the
It's close to all
but
that.
But it's like the Phi Die.
Oh God, please stop it. If you're this close from saying Frisco, and then this podcast is over.
I'll say Frisco if I want. But maybe they'll move to Fresno.
Jackie,
that's 6 hours
stop.
From San Francisco.
Just stop.
All right. What about Yuba City? Anyway.
No. When the Punchline closed, I was on stage, and Michael Meehan, who's this really hilarious comic.
Yeah, do you know Michael Meehan? Three brothers?
Yes, the Meehan brothers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forgot their names.
Michael Howard. I can't remember the other guy's name off the top of my head.
They're adorable.
They're really funny.
And really good guys.
And strange and creative. And you can't.
And twisty and.
Yeah. Just really oddballs, you know? And super funny. Like.
I did last comic with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. So I was on stage. Mike Meehan jumped on stage naked.
Oh, that's
and then
funny.
They took the local paper, the Contra Costa Times, took a picture,
mm-hmm,
and put it in the paper.
Of you and him?
Yeah.
And he, not clothed.
Right.
You?
So I insist, I hope that on one of the Punchlines, San Francisco's last nights, I can do a set, and then Michael Meehan will jump on stage naked again.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
And then we take it to Sacramento.
Just start doing the road. You and him.
Well, there's a Punchline in Sacramento.
Right. So and so there, now there's just Cobb's Punch and the Punchline in Sacramento, and San Francisco's closed, and then there's a Punchline in, what else does Live Nation own?
I don't know. There's a bunch of Tommy T's out there and
Rooster Teeth Feathers.
Roosters, now I'm obsessed with Roosters. I'm like, they own land in Sunnyvale, which is...
Do they own that plot?
I don't know if they own it. I mean, that is one of the oldest comedy clubs in the country as well.
Month.
Like in the late 70s. It was opened in the late 70s.
Yeah.
Early 70s. And they did comedy like once a night, and it was a music place. So... Like, do they own that building, or do they have a lease?
It feels weird that they're still there.
I know. That land must be so fucking valuable that it's sitting on, you know?
Well, and it's right around, I mean, it's right next to this weird autos thing, and then around the corner from that.
But there's a huge mall across the street and apartments, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, it's an
odd duck.
It's worrisome.
Right. Because you don't want to, you don't break it.
No.
Yeah,
I know.
It. Yep. I know.
Don't everything go away.
Right. That would be weird. But can we go away soon? Oh, four more minutes.
All right.
Look how close we are.
We are very close.
We're very close.
Yeah.
What do you got this week?
Oh, I'm in Palm Springs on Saturday night.
Really?
Yes. I'm doing... Oh, I should know the gig. Hold on. I just know the hotel.
Oh, okay. You know where you're staying? And so it's a one-nighter in Palm Springs that has,
yes,
a hotel?
Yeah, yeah.
I would do that.
It's not a recurring one-nighter. It's like a convention of some type.
Okay.
But yeah.
The last time there was a hotel in Palm Springs where I did a gig, the hotel was like a Red Roof Inn.
I'm staying at a Hilton.
Oh, is it a Hilton property?
I believe I am. But here's the point. Is You know what? If you guys are near Palm Springs, I will be tweeting about this heavily starting like Wednesday.
And as and you then know, you can come Lori to the Kilmartin's show. Twitter handle is AnnieLori16.
Yeah, so please come to the show. I'd really appreciate it. Yeah. And then the rest of the week, I have spots every night, you know, Monday through Friday.
I'm doing hot tub, what'll be tonight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, hot tub will be fun.
I think I'm doing Flappers. I'm at Flappers tonight on Monday night. And then I think I'm doing Witch Hunt after that. I'm doing a late
I just
one
did
on
Witch Hunt.
Then I'm not doing Witch Hunt because it, right. It's not two nights, right?
Right. No. It's just tonight.
What am I doing?
I'm doing Bark on Wednesday and I'm doing Dan Telfer's Lyric Hyperion.
I'm sorry. I'm doing Mermaid Hour.
Oh, nice.
Night. Yes.
Mermaid Hour is super
oh,
fun.
Oh, the Lyric will be, that'll be great. He gets a really good crowd.
That's cool.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm also doing Nerd Poker. I'm going to play D&D with Brian Posehn for his podcast tomorrow night as well. And I'm going to be playing my character. I have to figure out how to change the level. The name of my character, Gaston Mansplain. And he is a fighter. And all he does is, besides hitting people mm-hmm. with his sword, is he re-explains whatever other characters have just explained. It's really, really annoying and fun to play.
Have I maintained a face that displays interest?
I'm hanging up.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.